So if you want this morning, you can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And over the next few weeks, I want to be sharing with you a series called Kingdom Over Culture. Kingdom Over Culture. And I do have to give props to some near and dear friends of mine that actually sent this artwork to me, and they wanted it on a t-shirt. And as I was making it, I could not shake the significance of it. I had where I wanted to go, and it all divinely connects. And I told her, Paula, I am stealing this. I am going to preach a whole series on this. So I think she's even watching this morning. She lives in Florida. So good morning, Mike and Paula. Love you guys. And as I just began to meditate on this, God said, this is what you need to speak on over the next few weeks, because this is so what is happening in our world right now. Is we need to know as the body of Christ, what is kingdom and what is culture, right? And God calls us to live differently than the world. Amen? So the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom. I believe that we are at a defining crossroad in our time in history. I believe that we are living in an hour, if history books ever exist again, these will be the moments that they write about. Amen? That our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and generations to follow, these will be a defining moment that could be on some form of documentary, some form of literature, and some facet they're trying to get rid of books, but it will exist out there somewhere. Everywhere you turn, there are things happening all around us. Have you noticed that? It just doesn't seem to stop, especially for us in California. Some will say the cause is one thing, and others will say it's another, right? There's fingers flying everywhere. More and more, these trending issues are causing what seems to be a massive divide. This has been weighing very heavy on my heart, and God has been speaking something to my spirit for this moment, I believe. I truly believe that as a church, as a community, as a nation, as a world, that we're living in the moments that many have prophesied about and many thought they wanted to see. Many thought they wanted to see the return of the Lord, but now we're going like, man, I thought I'd at least be able to breathe when he showed up, right? At least I thought we could at least have some oxygen. How many of you are like me? I'm like, I just want one day to get a deep breath. Lately, I'm like, I wake up and I'm like, I don't even feel like I slept. I'm just like, I just need one day of blue air and a deep breath. And then, okay, we can go back to, I just need some air. But I believe the Bible gives us clear instruction on where we should be in the midst of all of this. Jesus made it clear. And I think that if we yield to this, we will be okay. So what does it mean to be kingdom-minded in today's culture? I think in order for us to answer that question this morning, we need to discover a few things. Number one this morning, if you're taking notes on the back of your thing there's a piece of paper. If you use your phone, you can open it up. Just put it in airplane mode so you don't get distracted and blah, 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 blah. But there might be a pencil in the back of the thing, or you can borrow a pen from somebody and not give it back and tell them that the Lord just put it on your heart to keep it and bless them. Amen. But there's some places to take notes on the back there. Number one, what is this kingdom you speak of? Jesus said, seek first his kingdom. Well, that's easy to say, but what is this kingdom that we should seek after? I believe the answer is given in a simple yet very deep passage that many read and we even recite, yet never fully recognize the importance of what is being declared. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 2 says, so he said to them, when you pray, say this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your what? Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is a kingdom that God wants to establish in the earth. There is a kingdom that God wants us to walk in on the earth. There is something that God wants to give his kids in the earth. Amen. There is something that we as God's people should be possessing that is not of this world, but that is of heaven likeness. How can the kingdom of God be defined? It's interesting to note that the expression kingdom of God, or you'll read kingdom of heaven, is mentioned, get this, 100 times in the Bible. So, well, what's the significance of that? Well, for comparison's sake, there are two other very important words. The word gospel is mentioned 90 times, and the word church 100 times as well. For all of you people that say church isn't important, you might want to tell the guy that wrote the book, I don't need, God's everywhere. No, he is, but he also established his church. So we are all convinced of the importance of the gospel. How many of you agree that the gospel is important? How many of us agree that the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ is important? We're all convinced, right, of the true importance of church and the bride of Christ, but few realize the importance of the kingdom. This word, if we break it apart, I'm laying a foundation this morning, means the dominion of the king. And its origin indicates what belongs to a king. Jesus is king, and his kingdom is unlike any other kingdom, any other dominion on this earth. I would submit to you today that we have a battle for which kingdom and which king gets to reign in the earth. Amen? And when you give your life to Christ, there is an all-out war against your life. There is, as Donnie said in worship, that was so profound. It is like hyenas that don't quit. Obnoxious, annoying, loud, screechy, just irritants that never stop because they want to rob you of the kingdom that God has for our lives. Amen? He wants to destroy what God will do in our lives. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. How many of you love to eat like me? Do I have any eaters in church this morning? Amen. How many of us, what do the rest of you guys do? The rest of you don't eat at all? What do you guys do? Drink Nutri-Shakes and that's it? Come on. My brother sent me a picture. He had cooked, I don't even know what it was, but it was slabs of red meat on a plate. And I'm like, where is mine? And he goes, well, let me know when you're not busy. And I said, I am never too busy for a steak. Right? Like, I will legitimately abort responsibility for food. I love food. I legitimately, you can ask my boys, I go to the gym not because I'm trying to be strong. I go to the gym because I cannot control what I put in my body. I'm not joking. Like, I legitimately love to eat. Eating is a passion of mine. Like, I am already thinking about where I'm going for lunch. But what's sad is lunch, absolutely. How many of you guys want lunch today? And we can eat, hopefully, inside. Most restaurants should be open in Placer County. Thank you. And but I'm also thinking about what's for dinner. Like, legitimately, I'm like, what's for dinner tonight, too? Because I'm going to eat lunch, and I'm going to have to eat again. And I should not be sharing all this because you guys need to listen to me for another hour, and now your stomach is turning. But it's all good. It's all good because there's dessert tonight, too. And I got some Tillamook ice cream. Tillamook. Is there any other brand of ice cream besides Tillamook? Nah. This is not in my notes, Tom. What did you do to me? You sabotaged me. Listen this morning. Kingdom, if we break it apart, means the dominion of the king. And its origin indicates what belongs to a king. Jesus is king. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, even though I just made it all about that, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we look across our world today, I think that we could easily say that that kingdom does not exist out there. But when Jesus asks us to seek first the kingdom of God, in truth, he is inviting us to seek the one who represents this kingdom with all the values that he embodies: righteousness, peace, love, humility, goodness, and gentleness. This is what our world desires, and yet as children of God, we can walk in it. Come on, the kingdom of God is the very thing that our world is searching for. They're trying to find it in programs. They're trying to find it in assistance. They're trying to find it in a raise. They're trying to find it in a job. They're trying to find it in a tax relief. They're trying to find it in this and in that and all of these different things, but they're never going to find peace. They're never going to find joy in the things that this world has to offer. And that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Number two, you must seek it. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 through 8 this morning says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, this is not used in the context that a lot of people try to use it in. Like, I dialed her number to see if she'd pick up, and she didn't pick up. That's not what we're talking about. I knocked on the door, and I had my bags, and I was ready to move in, and nobody let me move in and possess the house. But that's the way we see that verse, is that if I knock and ask and petition God for the material things of this world, that he will give them to me. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He says, when you seek first the kingdom, when you knock for the things of the kingdom, when you seek God, when you seek after righteousness, when you seek after peace, when you seek after joy, the Bible says that he will give it to you. What does it mean to seek first? Well, first means before. It means the most important or in the beginning. The Greek word for beginning is, I love this. I found this, and this is gonna get you today. You ready for this? The Greek word for beginning is proton. How many of you guys remember those words in science? Protons and neutrons, and what's the other one? Electrons. Thank you. You can tell who's still in high school. The rest of you are just like, The proton is a particle located at the center of an atom. Okay, follow me here. So the Greek word for beginning or first is proton, which is the center of an atom. We also call it the nucleus. And it's interesting to note that it has a positive charge. You ready for this morning? The creator always precedes creation. He is the one who is the beginning, but also the end. We read in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So this morning, think about what you put first in your life, what you place first in your days. Do you act this morning as if God is truly in first place? Is he in first place in your relationships, in your family life, in your dreams and your plans, in the way you treat yourself, and in your finances? The fact is Christ is the divine proton, the center, the nucleus around which our lives must be centered. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first Christ. Why? Because when you seek the center, when you seek the positive charge of your life, he creates the positive energy our lives need. When you seek him first, it centers your life in a positive or faith-filled direction instead of fear. Think about that for a moment. When you seek him first, he ignites faith in your heart. He ignites joy in your life. He ignites peace in your life. When you seek him first, what you're doing is you're allowing him to be the positive peace of your life. How many of you know we need some positive flowing in the earth? We got a lot of neutrons flying around right now. We need some protons to combat the neutrons right now. Amen? Jimmy Neutron has had too much fun out in planet Earth. You can tell I still have little kids in the house, right? The Bible says that he is, in Romans 4:17, I don't think this is in there, he is God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Think about this. Faith is calling things that do not exist as though they do. When you begin to seek first Christ, when you begin to tap into the love of God, when you begin to tap into this kingdom that God has for our lives, you are always going to see things that nobody else sees. You are going to see potential in situations that nobody else sees. You're going to see opportunity that nobody else sees. One of my good buddies is here, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to put him on blast, but Cole's sitting there. And this guy has an incredible ability to see something from nothing. I didn't even ask him I could share this because this is just totally the Holy Spirit. I remember one time he bought this piece of property and it had this house and it was so, I mean, it should have been burned down. But because of what is on the inside of him and what God has put in him, he did not see waste. He saw potential. Amen. And I would submit that when you tap into the kingdom of God, and he renovated that place. I mean, you had to crawl through the window. It was bad, huh, Brenna? It was so, she's like, don't even talk to me about it. Amen. But his ability to see potential and his new house, he bought this place up on this hill, and now he's, I'm like, how do you do this? Like, he just sees, they both of them have this gift to just like see potential and stuff, and all I see is the amount of work. I'm like, work and money must not be my gifting. But he doesn't see it. He sees it as opportunity because of what God has put on the inside of him. Each one of us, when you tap in and you get locked into the kingdom of God, he begins to show you potential where nobody else sees potential. See, this is how God proceeds in our life. When God speaks, the entire creation immediately begins moving to obey him. When God speaks, all of creation moves. What God has said, the earth has to follow. And you say, well, why is God allowing all of this? Well, you should read the book. Amen? There's a purpose behind all of it. When we place God before everything else, we authorize him to create things in our lives that do not exist and call things into existence that are not. Every single one of you, God is calling things into existence in your life that you never thought were there. How many of you have that testimony? You say, man, I cannot believe, looking back, what God has done through my life. Does anybody else have that testimony besides me? Does anybody else go, wow, God, I did not realize that this is what was on the inside of me, but glory to God, as I sought your kingdom, as I tapped into you, and I didn't worry about what was going on in culture, and I just hunkered down and I grabbed hold of the kingdom of God, he began to release something in my life that was supernatural, that was beyond my understanding. So why seek his kingdom this morning when it seems on the surface as if we are losing territory or it's not playing out well for us? How many of you would agree that you've been praying some prayers for the last 6 months and it feels like God must have got the wrong number? Anybody else feel like that? It's like, God, did you like cut the line somewhere? Because I know I have denied. I told you I love food. I knew there was a reason for that. I have not eaten, okay? I have deprived myself of food because I wanted God to move, okay? I have gone without meals so that I could see God do something in the last 6 months. And I'm just like, kind of sometimes wondering, like, did I miss a meal on purpose or by accident? Because it's easy to look and see, is this? But when you understand the book, you know that there are some things that just have to continue to unfold, and we just need to continue to hunker down and be connected to him like never before. Amen? But I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse number 2. It says, God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Listen to this. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets, torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. How many of you feel like sometimes that's what's going on in your life? Amen? How many of you have ever had a conversation with God like this? But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. What does it mean to put kingdom over culture? It means that I will not be moved in my faith because of what is happening in the world today. Because God is still looking for a remnant of his grace on planet Earth. In spite of the despair throughout the ages, God is always looking for a remnant. He is always looking for those that his kingdom can prevail through. See, culture tells us we need to accept what is happening and blend in. We're not doing very well blending in. I don't do very well blending in right now. I stick out like a sore thumb right now. You can ask my kids. They're like, Dad, you packing right now? Some of you are like, packing? Yeah, packing a mask. I'm like, oh, nope. Now, if... Culture tells us we need to give up. Culture tells us we just need to understand. Culture tells us that we don't have a place anymore. Culture tells us that we should shut our doors. Culture tells us that we shouldn't sing. Culture tells us that we shouldn't stand for righteousness and holiness. Culture tells us that we should accept. I don't know if you've seen the latest thing with Netflix and a show that is basically borderline child pornography. And they're telling us that we should accept it, and that if you don't understand it, you're a right-wing wacko, basically. But yet, if one of us was caught with those pictures on our personal devices, we could be thrown in jail for child pornography, and yet they want to put it on our Netflix account and let us stream it and tell us we should understand it. Culture is trying to shove some things down our throat. But I believe that God needs a remnant. I believe that God needs a people that stand for his kingdom over culture. Amen. See, our communities, I don't know if this is a real word, so I made it up, but maybe it's real. Our communities don't need vacators. It's not time to surrender our land to what is happening. It is, you cannot find in the Word of God where he ever told them to give up their lands. Do not give up your rightful place in the earth. God does not need vacators. He needs participators. He needs kingdom-minded people that can influence the earth. See, God isn't removing his people from this time, but I believe he is looking for kingdom-minded people that he can show his favor upon in this season. So this morning, my last point for you, choose your kingdom. Choose your kingdom. Here is the reality. Light is only needed when darkness is present. As God's people, we are called to be the light of the world. And light is not needed where there's other light. God puts his people in dark moments to be a reflection and a light of who he is in the earth. So when you walk into a room, people say, why do you have so much peace right now? Don't you know what's going on in our world? Why do you have so much joy right now? Don't you know what's going on in our world right now? How do you carry yourself like that? Don't you know what's going on in our world right now? Can I tell you that that is what it means to have the kingdom of God alive in your life? Is you get to be something that the world does not have. Because light is needed the most when it is the darkest. Because light always trumps the darkness. Think about it. Light always. Darkness cannot overpower light. You can't. The only way to do it is to put it in a box. To put it in completely covered, completely just isolated, completely just shut down, or to just take the batteries out. To take the power out. And I believe right now, by the Spirit of God, that the world is trying to take our power. That the world is trying to take something away from us. Because that's what the spirit of this world does. He does not want us singing praises to God Almighty. He wants us singing praises to him. But I love what Isaiah says. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse number 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Listen, kingdom-minded people, kingdom over culture, is learning to think like God thinks. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Even the mountains will shout for joy. Even the trees will clap for God. Why are we so expressive in our worship? Why am I up here yelling at the top of my lungs and trying to dance and I can't dance? Why am I? Because I know that if I don't do it, the mountains and the trees are going to do it for me. Amen. I know that if I don't praise him because of what he's rescued me from, Donnie, just as you said this morning, come on, I cannot be silent in my praise because of what Christ has redeemed me from, because what God saved me from, because of the kingdom that he placed me in. I do not deserve to be part of this kingdom. But because of his great love, because of his extravagant grace and because his word will not return to him void, because his word will accomplish what he set it out to do. If I could get you guys to come back, please. This morning, we may not understand it all, but it's truth. He will fulfill his declarations, and it will be done through those of his kingdom. Now, I don't know if any of you are like me. I know I'm a special case. It is clear. But I hate losing. I refuse to lose. If I lose, I say, let's play again. I'm not joking. Did the other day, we were at the gym, we were playing basketball, and I lost. I'm like, let's go one more, come on. Like, just so that I could leave, if we could at least play one more so I could win one, so I could go. I'm okay if we tie. But just don't send me home losing. That's why I hate golf. Because I feel like I always lose. And I don't get any mercy out there. They pick on me. But I hate losing. So I'm going to keep playing so that one day I can beat somebody. Somebody at some point is not going to be as good at me at golf, and I'm going to feel good about that. Even if it's got to be Ben, I don't know. Ben's actually just as good as I am. I'm like, geez. I took Jake the other day, and I'm like, dude, you don't even play golf, and you're playing as good as me. And I felt good, too, man. I had, like, the golf balls that they say make you like a pro. I had, like, the good golf shoes. I had, like, real golf shorts. I had like nice golf clubs. I don't even have like, I got like really nice golf clubs. And I'm like, I'm still losing. Because I hate to lose. But here's the thing. When you are part of God's kingdom, you are not a loser. You do not lose. There is no losing when you seek him first. There may be things that I'm not good at out there, because at the end of the day, my golf score is not getting me into heaven. It's not the halftime show where if I make it from half court, I get into heaven. That's not the way the kingdom works. The kingdom works simply by this: allowing his word to work in your life. When you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you're on the way. And then as you begin to seek after him, he just begins to lead, and he begins to guide, and he begins to fulfill his word in our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the losing team. And I don't want anybody in this room to be on the losing team. Because his word will not return void. He will reward those that seek him above all else. I don't know who this is for, but I want to tell you today to stop accepting a lesser life. Stop getting drawn away from your rightful place in God's kingdom. Stop allowing culture to overpower the kingdom in your life. Jesus didn't sacrifice his life for you to miss out. Because as a follower of Christ, not only are you a part of his kingdom, but you are a co-heir of this kingdom. You are the beloved child of a king. He calls you by name. and you have a place at his table. And he promises you countless treasures, spiritual treasures, treasures this world can't take away. The hyenas, they try to take our joy, don't they, Donnie? They try to take our peace. They try to take our love. Come on, every single one of us, we know that. But if I seek him first, when I seek him first, they can't take what Jesus gave. Would you stand to your feet this morning? And as I close, I do want to ask you for forgiveness. Because I recognize that my stance on some of these issues in our world today has, I'm not trying to throw my opinion or what is right and wrong. So please don't take that as a slam against anybody. So I ask you to forgive me for saying that earlier. But God, today, in the midst of the turmoil in our world, in the midst of the hate, the division, the strife, the confusion, the anger, the misunderstanding, the hurt, I cannot shake that passage where in the last days that they will call evil good and good evil. And God, that is what we stand before today, as a time where they're trying to tell us what is wrong is okay and what is right is not allowed. That you can gather in a protest, but you can't gather in a church. That you can sit in a casino and be bound to that addiction and throwing your resources away, but you can't sit in a church. God, your kingdom over culture needs to be the principal thing of our lives. So my friend, today, as we begin this journey over the next few weeks, I believe God has given me a mandate to share how kingdom-minded people should operate, how we should walk, how we should talk, what we should be doing. But I felt so strong today that none of that is any good if we don't fully know what kingdom we are a part of. You can desire all the principles. Our world has done that well. They take kingdom principles and put them into action, and they work. Because his word will not return void. Give and you shall receive. One of the simplest promises. And we see that in our world today. People are always doing good for people. And they receive back. And it's just a perpetual motion in our lives. But I believe deeper than that, that there is something that God wants to give his people in this season. I believe he's given me some direction for the political climate. And that's not to add more division or more divide. I know he's gonna speak some stuff. How do we handle all of this? How do we deal with this as believers right now? I believe that when we have a kingdom mindset, God will direct our lives. Amen? So with every eye closed and every head bowed this morning, in order for the kingdom principles to work, Jesus needs to be first in your life. And if he's not first, I would ask you, why not? If you haven't sought him first, why not? What are you waiting for? Why aren't you giving him that place in your life? I'm here to tell you today, for 23 years, I've had joy unspeakable. I've had peace just uncomprehendable. I've watched God carry my life because I have sought him first, because I have sought his kingdom. And there is somebody in this room today, God is pulling on your heart. Maybe it's somebody that's watching online. We got multiple campuses going on right now. Multiple homes are watching. And there's somebody, you've been resisting the kingdom of God. You love hearing it. It makes you feel good. You love listening. And you've yet to give him the first place in your heart. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, I would ask if there's somebody in this room or somebody online today that you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ. You are ready to say, I am ready to be part of God's kingdom. I'm tired of what culture has tried to throw on me. All it's done is robbed, stolen, and tried to take my life. But today I'm ready to be a part of God's kingdom. Is there anybody at all who would say, Pastor Sean, that is me. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm ready to be part of God's kingdom. This is the most powerful thing you will ever do with your life. The most important decision you will ever make with your life. Because God loves you so much. So if that's you today and you've never prayed that prayer, and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. But today, you are ready to be adopted into the kingdom of God. Could you just raise your hand if you're in this room? If you're online, you can give me a thumbs up, you can high five, anybody at all. Father, we thank you today. God, I thank you today that you are moving on hearts. God, that you are calling us to seek something different that this world does not offer. So God, it is my prayer today that as we begin to walk out these next few weeks together as the family of God, that you're going to do something in our lives that we did not see coming. God, you're going to transform some things in our lives that we didn't know needed to be transformed. And that your love would begin to cover us and carry us through this season. That it would surround us. That it would go before us. That it would carry us, God. And I praise you for it tonight. Praise you for today. I'm just going to ask them to sing that just before we close this morning, that he loves us. And then I want to pray over us this morning. Thank you, Lord.